Arachin chapter 1, Mishnah 1. So interesting Masechta, Arachin, and it deals with the laws of vows and consecrations made to the temple treasury. And we'll learn as we're going through the Masechta that there are different ways that vows and consecrations could be made, and different forms that the vow could take. We're going to start off in Mishnah 1:1, dealing with the difference between an erech vow and a kind of monetary valuation kind of vow. And the difference would be that the Torah sets out that a person can make an erech vow, using that language, that I would say, I would hereby make an erech vow, and the amount of the vow is then determined and set out by the Torah. So it's determined based on two factors, whether it's a male or a female that he's basing his vow on, and also the age of the male or the female. So just to give some examples, the minimum age of an erech vow is 1 month. So a male, 1 month to 5 years, the Torah sets out that the value of that is 5 shkalim. So if a person says, I'm making an erech vow based on this particular child who's, let's say, 3 years old, that would be 5 shkalim. If the person that he bases his erech vow on, the subject, is 15 years old, so the Torah sets out it's 20 shkalim. If the person's 40 years old, the Torah sets out that it's 50 shkalim. And over 60 years old, the Torah sets out that it's 15 shkalim. That's for a male. For a female, 1 month to 5 years is 3 shkalim, 5 to 20 years is 10 shkalim, 20 to 60 years is 30 shkalim, and over 60 years is 10 shkalim. So the Torah sets out those values, and if a person says, I hereby make an erech vow, so the value of that vow is determined, it's fixed by the Torah. But if a person says, I'm going to give the value of that individual, not an erech value, just a normal monetary valuation, so the way that's determined is by determining the value of that person on the slave market. If we had to sell such a person on the slave market, what value would we get for them? And that is the amount that the person would, monetary amount, that the person now has to donate to the temple. Before we start the Mishnah, just one more point, and that is that a person, when he's making such a vow, can either use himself as the subject of his vow. So he could say, I hereby give an erech vow based on me, based on my erech valuation, or he could say, I hereby give an erech, make an erech vow based on that person's erech valuation. Or he could say, I hereby give my monetary value to the temple, I hereby vow to donate that amount. Or he could say, I donate the monetary value of that person to the temple. So he could make himself the subject of his vow, or he could make someone else the subject of his vow. With that in mind, says the Mishnah, Kol Ma'archin V'ner Rachin, anybody can be the subject of the valuation, he can dedicate the valuation and be the subject of the valuation, or Noidrim V'nidarim, or could be make a vow for a monetary amount, or be the subject of a vow for a monetary amount. That includes Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, Nashim, Vavadim. It includes Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. Women and slaves could all make a vow and could all be the subject of a vow, whether it's erech based or whether it is a monetary value based. Tumtum vandroginus noidrim. So a tumtum and an androgynous. Tumtum is a person of indeterminable sex. We can't see because the male or female organs are covered up. We can't see what sex they are. We don't know. An androgynous is someone who possesses characteristics of both. So they, a tumtum and androgynous, may make a vow and a monetary vow, the nidarim, and that may also be the subject of a monetary vow, because they still have a value, right? Even though we don't know what they are, male or female, or they still have a value on the slave market. Umarichin, and they can also make an erech vow, aval nor ne'erachin, but lo ne'erachin, they can't be the subject of an erech vow. And why? Because obviously, she'an ne'erech elezacha vada nekeva vadais. We can't, the erech vow is based on whether the person is a male or a female. And these, the androgynous and the tumtum, we can't tell if they're a male or a female. So if you use them as the subject for an erech vow, you can't determine what the amount of that vow should be. It changes if the person's a male or a female, and we can't tell over here. Cheresh shoyt v'katan nidarim, a deaf mute, an imbecile, and a mana, they may nidarin v'nirachin, they may be the subject of a monetary vow or an erech vow. You could say that I give the value of that mana as an erech vow, or I give the value of that mana on the slave market. Avalo noidrin velo marechin, but they can't themselves make a monetary vow or an erech vow, because they are not, they don't have the mental competence in order to make such a vow. Ibn Sha'in Bem Das is the Mishnah, they do not have mental competence. Pachus mi ben Chodesh Nidar, also one who is less than 1 month old, may be the subject of a monetary valuation, because, I mean, you could sell a baby a few weeks old on the slave market, theoretically, right? It would have a monetary value on the slave market, avalot nerech, but it would not have an erech valuation, because, as I said in the beginning, the erech valuation only starts at 1 month old. So just in summary, you see there's a difference between an erech valuation, which is a fixed valuation, the amount is fixed by the Torah, and a monetary valuation, which is the amount that is, it's a monetary amount determined by, if theoretically you sold that person on the slave market, what would you get for such a person?